also a portion of Surah An-Naml. Surah Al-Qasas, those of you who are opening their smartphones, I have an important message for you tonight. Extremely important. I have to start by saying that Surah Al-Qasas, which is chapter number 28 of the Quran, is one of my personal favorite surahs of the Quran. And all the surahs and all the verses are beautiful. But especially this one has a relevant message for us in this difficult days. Surah Al-Qasas, first of all, was revealed to our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at difficult times, when he was migrating from his hometown, his beloved town Mecca, to Medina, to Yathrib. So you could imagine, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, when he looked back at his hometown, leaving his hometown, he actually shed tears until his blessed beard got wet. And he was actually calling his blessed town Mecca, saying that, "Ya Mecca, Allah who drove me away from you, I would not have left you whatsoever." So you could imagine the sadness and the agony and the feeling of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So around these difficult times, this surah was revealed to give him strong hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why this, as I shared with you, this is one of my favorite surahs of the Quran, along with Yasin and Al-Kahf and Al-Mulk and Al-Waqi'ah. So this one, this particular one, is a message of hope for us. How? Now, I could stand here and talk to you about this surah for hours and hours. But in 2-3 minutes, I would like to just focus on two messages from this blessed surah. And especially sisters, pay attention to me because it is something relevant and pertinent. The author of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks about a story of the earlier prophets. There is a focus, a concentration, a perspective, certain perspective Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize. So what is the focus or perspective of this surah? It's basically the early stage or the early formation of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. His early stage, when he was a baby, when he was a child, when he grew up. So it is basically his life cycle, especially the early cycle. This is the focus of this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started, I said, just two insights and two messages from this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by talking about how horrible Pharaoh was, a dictator. He actually killed an entire generation of males, the children of Israel. He was a dictator. He claimed to be the Lord. So he usurped something that is only, he is the Lord. I am the Lord. Allah Ta'ala told us, and here is the insight, that he wanted to bless the children of Israel and to make them leaders. And the question is how? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affected his will, his mashi'at? How? If you read, those of you who have the Quran with you, if you read just verse number 7, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affected his mashi'at, his will, to make the children of Israel leaders and to deliver them from the agony of Pharaoh. How? The verse reads, and listen carefully, sisters, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَىٰ. The first step, how Allah is will to make the children of Israel leaders and to deliver them from the dictatorship of Pharaoh. How? We inspired into them. So my dear brothers and sisters, especially sisters, to make an entire community leaders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by talking about the woman, the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented his will by first talking to a poor woman, telling her to breastfeed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the baby, and if you are worried about him, the logic says, be overprotective of your baby. But Allah tells her, throw him into the river. Throw him into the river. How could a mother throw her baby into the river? There is a promise here. لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Don't get worried. Don't be fearful. We shall return him to you, and we shall make him one of the messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made two promises. We shall return him to you. Did it happen? Yes. And we shall grant women, sisters, mothers. This is actually the leaders of the community. And if we draw parallel to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how was woman being crucial in the life of our beloved Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His mother died when he was six. Okay, and then he got breastfed by Sayyida Halima. Okay, and then Ummu Ayman used to take care of him with his beloved uncle, Sayyidina Abu Talib. And then he got married first to Khadija. Okay, and then later one of his favorite wives, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the revelation, where did he go? Did he go to the coffee shop or, you know, with his friends hanging out? No. He went to his wife. He went home to his wife. And the wife, our beloved him, biggest business women in the entire Mecca, she devoted all of her wealth to support him and to support his dawah. Okay? About Sayyida Aisha, do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take half of your faith from this woman. Half of the faith is transmitted through or the on the authority of one woman, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Take half of your faith from a woman, from this woman, referring to a Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So woman actually gives birth to half of the community, right? And she brings up the other half. So she is everything. So that's the first insight. The second insight, it's verse number 80. You know, my dear, the lifespan of any one of us. Maybe 80, 85 years, 90, 100, 120. With this time and age, it's very difficult. If we are healthy, and when we get 70 or 80, this is a blessing. This life is full of tests. Sickness is a test. Wealth is a test. Children is a test. Everything is a test. And then we get to ask ourselves, how are we going to pass this test? When is it going to end? Allah answers in verse number 83. So again, chapter 28, verse 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good end shall be for the righteous. The good end shall be for the righteous. No matter how difficult life is, but remain righteous, my dear brothers and sisters. Remain pious. Of rest who has big houses or fancy cars or attractive bank accounts. The one who is successful is the one who will make it to paradise, and Allah will save him from the torment of hellfire. Allah is telling us this. The good end shall be for the righteous. We need to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice for the sake of our faith. Our faith did not come to us on a silver platter, my dear brothers and sisters. It came through many sacrifices. In the early days, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha, Sayyida Aisha, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and many, many others. You know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is one of the wealthiest businessmen in Mecca, but he spent all of his cash flow to support the da'wah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He freed slaves, among whom was Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. Our faith to sacrifice for this world so that we could earn the better place in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, the two insights. Sisters, you are so crucial in our life and in the life of Islam. Number two, the good end shall be for the righteous people.